be seated tonight in the presence of God. You know, I want to be starting the series Jesus, but not now. We're going to be moving into it for not this week, but the following week. And just a few things I wanted to, God put in my heart to speak today. And so don't forget, this Sunday coming up, we have Resurrection Sunday. Come on, somebody, Resurrection Sunday. And I feel if I start the series today, I'm going to shortchange it when I talk about resurrection. And so then I just want to wait till after resurrection, and I'll be starting, amen, the following Sunday. So we'll probably go into the next month with that. And we're just going to let God minister and speak to us and let him do what he needs to do in our hearts, in our lives. I want to thank everyone who has been connecting and registered to our Overcomer class. Becoming overcomers has been powerful. I mean, we talked about what is an overcomer, who are the overcomers, and what we overcome. So it's been a great class. And so we're going to thank all those who are watching, who are registered. And I know there's 100 some people who registered, and I'm grateful for them. And all those that are also watching, thank God for you, and just sharing it. It's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing. But I want to thank all those that are right now watching us live on Instagram and on Facebook and also on YouTube. And we continue just reaching our families and reaching our loved ones and sending out invitations for them to watch, doing watch parties and having them just allow God to use you. Your evangelism right now, listen closely, church, our evangelism right now is through the media. So that means I'm going to take the time to send a share to my loved ones and to all those that are on my Facebook and tell them, okay, watch this video. Let God minister to you. Let God break down every barrier and touch us and strengthen us. And so I'm excited for that. I'm really excited for that. And so use your evangelism. Use your evangelism. And so just let God use you to minister and to touch the people. Amen. So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Amen. As we continue just sharing and share comments, so we know you're there. And so we can pray for you. We have prayer requests. Send them in so we can pray with you. Amen. Amen. That's our Christian commercial for today. And so if you have your Bibles, go to me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. I want to start in chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Here Paul is writing a thank you note to the believers, for the believers here in Philippi. And he's there and he's ministering to them in the time of need and the time of help. And he uses this occasion to speak to them and to instruct them about unity, about keeping unity, how simple it is to keep the unity and how simple it is to work together and to be unified when we walk in humility. And so it's so important that the church stay unified right now in this time, in this hour. And that we understand what's going on, that God is doing something in the midst of all this. He's doing something powerful and something great in the midst of all this. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 reads this. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. For the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. For the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for your anointing, for your power, for your Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, that you would minister to us, oh God, you would speak to us, that we would grab a hold of your word, Father, and that you would move, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Can they lower the mic because it's feeding back, please? And so I want you to see here is Paul is saying something profound. He is saying something very intense. He says, but I want you to know. He's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the church. And he's saying, I want you to know something. And he lays it out in a way to get their attention. He says, I want you to know, brother, sister, pastor, leader, believer, son, daughter. I want you to know. He goes, I want you to know. Now, it's pretty intense because he says this, that the things which happen Can you tell Manuel to go in there and to lower the highs, please? There's a lot of highs and it's feeding back a lot. The things which happened to me. Someone say to me. Say to me. Paul is talking to about himself. To me. Have actually turned out for the furthermores. Okay, so we're gonna break some things down here really quick before we get into some more things. The things that he's talking about. The things that he's talking about. Lower the highs, Manuel, please. Lower the highs. And add some mids to it, please. Thank you. So the things? What happened to Paul? What happened to Paul? Paul was raised a Roman soldier. He got all these beliefs that were inside of him. He was psycho. He was crazy. He was killing Christians. He was persecuting Christians. And so all this stuff, his past, listen closely, his past, he I don't want to get too much into, but his past, he's saying all these things and what happened to me as a Christian, even the things that happened to me as a Christian to this point, being shackled in chains, being shipwrecked, all this stuff, all this craziness that happened to me, being locked up with Silas and being in chains, and all this stuff happened to me. He says, turned out, actually, listen, he goes, to me, have actually turned out for the furthering of the gospel. He said, it's to make the gospel be further. It can reach and it can be preached in different cities. It can be preached in different locations. It can be reached in different situations. So God is saying to us right now, because of whatever is going on right now, he said, my gospel is being preached further. It's being preached further. Come on, it's being preached further than just Grand Terrace. Wow. Right now, people in Mexico are listening. People right now in Australia, people in Africa, different continents are listening. Canada, people all over are listening around the world. Different counties are listening. We're in the Coachella Valley. We're listening Riverside County, San Bernardino County, LA County, people in Arizona. Some of you right now in Texas, people from all over are listening. Listen to what I'm saying. This is what he's saying for the furthering of the gospel. What we are going through is to further the gospel. Let me share some locations for you guys. Here are some of the locations. The countries, United States, Mexico, Canada, United States, Lubbenberg. I don't even know where that at. Lubbenberg. These are the cities right now that are being reached by the gospel right now. Corona, Glen Avon, San Diego, Loma Linda, Los Angeles, Arizona, Hesperia, Sun Valley, Moreno Valley, Oregon, Bloomington, Pomona, Riverside, Colton, Ontario, Desert Hot Springs, Manchester, England, Chino, or another place in Oregon, Rancho Cucamonga, Capitrino, Garden Grove, Palm Springs, Fillmore, Rialto, Loma Linda. Are you hearing me? The gospel is getting reached further. And Paul is saying, those things that really happened to us and those things that took place to me has called the gospel to get preached further. Someone say further. Wow. Wow. That is intense. That's some intense stuff there. So sometimes all we do is focus on the bad. Sometimes we focus, Amber said it well when she was up here, that sometimes people are just focusing on the bad. There's still some good still happening in the midst of all this. People are coming to the Lord. People are getting saved. People are getting restored. Families are coming together. God is doing something in the midst of this. Actually, it was for the furthering of the gospel. Wow. You guys with me so far? So Paul is saying this. Why can Paul say this? Why was Paul addressing this? Why was Paul laying this out? It's for a reason. It's for a reason. Turn me really quick to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to get into some things here in Philippians chapter 3. See, people right now texting Oxnard, San Gabriel, Chino, Riverside, East Texas, Oregon, Victor. See, they're still texting. So this is what God is doing. God is using your life right now, your struggle, Your struggle to reach others, your struggle, your situation to reach your family and your loved one. So here's Paul, and Paul begins to say something, I'm pressing towards the goal. Now, I want you guys to know this. Please listen to this closely. God called you to this. God saved you. You with me? God saved you. God called you into this. Are you guys with me? He got you in this battle. He got you in this fight. He got you into his army. He saved you. He delivered you. He set you free. Come on, Jesus did. And so look at what happened here. And Paul says something in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He said, not that I have already obtained or I'm already perfect. He said, look, I don't act like I know everything. I'm not like I already arrived. Listen to what I'm saying. He goes, I'm not like I'm so-and-so Mr. Guru and Mr. Self-Righteousness. He goes, no. He goes, not that I have already obtained, or am already perfect, but I press on. Say with me, I press on. I press on. I press on. Listen to this part, please. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has already laid a hold of me. He said, the only reason why I am pressing on and the only reason why I'm going to finish this is because God started it. How did God start it? He started by dying on the cross, by giving you salvation, by you getting saved. Now it's your job to finish it. Woo! Come on, somebody. Now it's your job to press on. He said, the only reason why I'm pressing on, because God got me in this. The only way that I'm here preaching right now, because God got me in this. He got me in this fine mess that I'm in. He got me. He delivered me. He changed me. He broke things off me. He began to change my life. He began to change my mindset. He began to change my heart. I got into the ministry. God began to use my life. Here I am in the goal. I'm in a race. I'm going forward. And God say, hey, I'm laying a hold of you, man. I laid a hold of you. I got you in this. I got you in this, and I'm going to get you out of this. Come on, somebody. I got you in this, and you're going to get out of this, and you're going to finish well, and you're going to finish strong, and you're going to finish mighty. So everything that we're doing right now as a church and as a believer is because God is in this. I want to know, anybody here got yourself into this by yourself? Was it your own faith, your own strength? It wasn't you. It was God. He got us in this. He got us into, amen, to a better direction. We were on our way to destruction. We were on our way to hell. But he got us and took us off that road, amen, and put us on a narrow road. Come on, somebody. Wide was a destruction, and he took us off that destruction, wide destruction, and he put us on a narrow road. And he says these words, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. I'm going to finish. Please listen, I'm going to finish what he got me into. You got to finish what God got you into. You need to finish what God called you to do. You need to finish doing what he called. This is just a trial. This is just a circumstance. This is just tribulation. This is just trouble. We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. Come on, somebody, because God is on our side. He goes on. He says this, I press on, man. The reason why I'm pressing on is because he got a hold of me. You guys with me? Look at verse 13. Brethren, I did not count myself to apprehend it. Again, he's saying, look at, get this out of your mind, he's saying. Stop thinking I'm perfect. Stop thinking I've achieved and I know everything. He goes, stop thinking like that. He said, the only reason why I'm doing this is because God got me in this. I'm not a perfect man. I don't claim to be perfect. I'm only doing what God called me to do. I'm only preaching what he told me to preach. I'm only doing what he wants me to do. I haven't obtained everything. I don't know everything. Me and my son were talking I thought like 5 hours, 5.5 hours about the gospel from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He pulled so much out of me. I'm like, dang. My daughter walked in and like 5 hours later, she goes, you guys are still talking? I go, yeah. And we sat there and we just laid out some stuff. I told him, he asked me a couple questions. I go, I don't know that, son. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know that. Let's look it up. Because if I don't know it, I'm not going to act like I know it. I haven't apprehended everything. And I don't know everything. But one thing I do know. Oh, come on, somebody. One thing I do know. I press forward. I press forward. I press forward. I press forward. Say it with me. I press forward. Say it with me. I press forward. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. He says, one thing I do. One thing I do know. And one thing I do do. Hello. One thing I do do. One thing I do know, he says. Very profound. Very profound. Forgetting. Forgetting the past. Look at, he goes, I do forgetting those things which are behind. He says, how do I press on? How do I finish what I've started? How do I get through this trial? How do I get to finish my calling? How do I get to finish what God has called me to do and the purpose that's on my life? How do I do it? I need to forget the past. I need to forget what's behind me. It's behind you for a reason. Paul was saying, man, he goes, what actually happened to me was the fruit of the gospel. Stop tripping. Press forward. He goes, I might not know everything, but I do know one thing. I'm forgetting about my past. My past did its job. That ain't me no more. That ain't me no more. Cycle the therapist ain't me no more. Silly Sally ain't you no more. Brother Bucket Mouth, that ain't you no more. Come on, somebody, that ain't us no. You forget about your past. You let it go. Someone say, let it go. Weak leg individual, feeble arms, the Bible says, and feeble legs that cannot stand. He said, let it go. That was the old you. So say, let it go. Come on, those watching us on live, say, let it go. Let it go. We have to let go of the past. The past has a way of polluting our future. The past has a way of distorting our future. The past has a way to distort your walk, has a way of distorting your future, what God has for you. And so if you live in your past, you'll never see the future. If you live in the past, you'll always draw your past into the presence. Ooh, come on, somebody. You'll draw your past into the presence because you're constantly living in the past. He's saying, look, I don't do that. One thing I do, he goes, I don't trip on my past no more. Because why? Who was Paul? Paul was a killer. Paul was a government official who would go and destroy believers and kill Christians. He would go and he would use their bodies and use them and their bodies as torches, and he would put them in frying pans, and he would get them and throw them in the arena in Rome, and they would fight and they would tear the bodies apart. It was graphic, the history of the Roman church. It was crazy. Or the gladiator circle in Greece and Athens and all these crazies was crazy. It was intense. He says, I want to forget that past of my life, of who I used to be. One who was killing Christians, one who was destroying families and destroying their futures. That was me. I'm forgetting that past. I'm forgetting that past. I press on. I press on. There's some things in my past I don't want to bring up. There's some things in my past I will never want to talk about. There's things in my past that I've forgotten about. And so God is saying, that's what you must do. You must forget your past. But if you continue thinking that you are who you are in your past, it'll ruin your future. It'll ruin your future. So we must forget the past. We must let the past be the past. He says these words. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. This is what he does. He goes, so I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. They're behind you for a reason. They have no business in front of you. They have no business where you're at right now. They have no business in your life right now. They have no business in your home right now. They have no business. So then the Bible says he forgets the past and reaches forward. So he's literally, the picture is like this and like this. He's literally saying no and literally reaching. I want you to see that picture. He's literally reaching forward. Have you ever got something that's on a tree and there's a good apple or a good orange and you're reaching to get it and you're reaching forward. That's the picture I want you to see, that he's reaching forward on an apple or orange that's high or a lemon that's high. And you don't want this one, you want one that's higher because it's more juicy or bigger. And so you're reaching forward. Listen to what it says, he's reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm reaching forward towards my future. Maybe I might not be that perfect person, but I'm going to reach forward to become better. Maybe you're not that great husband, but you reach forward to get better. Maybe you're not that perfect mother, but you reach forward to obtain it. So we have to understand that we must reach forward, and reach with the anticipation for something to grab a hold of, an anticipation to see ourselves different. So I'm going to reach forward to get something, and when I get it, I'm going to apply what I've reached forward for. So we must forget the past and reach forward. I want to know, what have you been reaching for? I want to know, what have you been reaching for since we've been in quarantine? Have you been reaching for your Bible? Have you been reaching in prayer? Have you been reaching in fasting? Or have you been reaching for all these other things? Have you reached to make yourself a better husband? Have you reached to make yourself a better spouse? Have you reached to close the gap between problems in your marriage? Have you reached forward to close gaps with your children? Or has it just been, it's time to just do nothing? Or have you've lost your reach? Maybe you don't know what to reach forward to. I'm telling you, reach forward and read your word. Reach towards the word. Reach toward the things of God. Reach towards heaven. We're going to be talking about that right now. We have to, whatever you reach for is what you're going to put in you. What have we been reaching for that we have been putting in us? Because if we're reaching for stuff that is ungodly, it's going to mess us up. If we're reaching for stuff that's just going to help us in the temporal, then that's what we're going to have, just temporal things. But if we're going to reach towards things that are eternal, we're going to have eternal gifts and eternal rewards. And so we must know, what are we reaching for? What are we reaching for? In today's society and in today's young adults, they're reaching for information. They're reaching for an answer. They're reaching for solutions. They're reaching for an impact. They're reaching to engage. And so God is saying, if you reach towards me, you're going to get everything that you need. You will engage in me. So we need to reach towards Jesus. Say with me, reach towards Jesus. Reach toward him and all the fruits of it and all the benefits that come with it. Amen. Forget the past. Reach forward. Reach toward the things of God. Amen. Look, it says these words, and I want you to catch this, please. Reach forward to those things which are ahead. There is something that's in front of us. And God is saying, what are you doing to get there? I remember when I got saved and I gave my life to the Lord, I wanted to be one of the best leaders there was. So I started reading on leadership stuff. I started getting scriptures that were about leadership. And I started figuring out things about leadership. And I started reaching myself towards leadership. I wanted to build disciples, so I started preparing myself and what to grab a hold of, how to make a disciple, and how to train somebody, and how to develop somebody. I've learned these things. I was reaching towards those things. And so whatever we are reaching for, it's going to get in us. So I want to challenge you, please. Right now, you're on your homes, and you have more time to be at home. Don't just reach for the remote control. Don't just reach for a game and reach for that. Reach for something that's going to bring substance. There's nothing wrong with watching TV. Watch TV. Nothing wrong in playing games. Nothing wrong in all that. But if that's all you're doing and no spiritual stuff, and the only time we open our Bibles is during service, if we even open it, something's wrong. Then we have no, if the only time we pray is when we come to church, we have no prayer life. If the only time we read our Bible is at church, then we have no word life. There's no word life in us. If the only time we do spiritual acts is when we come to church, then you're not spiritual. Something's wrong with you. You're spiritually dead. Good morning, Vietnam. So analyze yourself for a minute. Stop for a minute. Check yourself. That's why we are thinking weird. We are acting weird. Because the only time we get peace is when we hear the preacher preaching. We should learn to get into our word. Learn to get a hold of prayer. Learn to grab a hold of worship outside of just church. My kids will tell you, man, we're in our word. My kids will tell you, we're praying. They're praying, they turn right, they're gone. They know that. They know when I'm sitting in certain places, they know that all I'm doing is studying. They'll just turn right around. Because they know what I'm apprehending. They know what I'm going forward towards. Amen. My wife starts praying. I'm just like, it's done. She goes in her prayer closet. I go in my prayer and they let her do what she's going to do. When she starts reading, I try not to bother her because I know I don't want to bother. I know what she's apprehending. Then we're done. We can sit and we talk about it. We talk about what we've read and what we talked about. We'll sit there and we'll just start breaking it down. Man, babe, did you hear this? And man, and she'll tell me stuff and she'll ask me questions and I'll ask her back and forth. We're breaking bread because we're going forward. We're reaching forward. Amen. We're reaching forward. Here we go. Verse 14. I press. So he goes, I press on. Amen. Because God called me. I press on by forgetting those things and by going forward. He goes, then I press on towards. Again, going forward. Going in the direction of forwardness. Towards. I love this. Towards the goal. There's a goal. Why? On soccer, you go forward. You're going forward to go into the goal. And when they make the goal, goal! Amen. For all my paisas, praise the Lord. But they go forward towards the goal. Listen to this. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God, Jesus Christ. So I press towards the prize. What's the prize? Heaven. Heaven. I press towards heaven. I press towards heavenly goal. My goal is to get to heaven. I'm pressing forward. And how? And what do I got to do? There's some things that I must let go to press forward. There's some things that I must release so that I can get to heaven. There's some stuff that I must grab a hold of God and say, God, there's a goal. Heaven is the goal, the goal, the high calling. My God, I'm going to get a crown. Amen. And I'm going to enter into heaven. And all these great things are going to happen. The pearly gates are going to be there. And all there's going to be a road of gold and mansions. And we're going to be praising God. And we're going to be singing hallelujah. Holy is his name. Holy, holy. We're going to just worship God. But that's my goal. That's my prize. The high calling. My purpose. Amen. I'm pressing forward. So that means there's some things that I must let go. There's some things that I must obtain. There's some things that I must grab a hold of. You guys with me? We can't just say, well, I came to church, I got saved. So what? Now what? Stop being evil. Stop doing evil things. Stop messing around. Start tripping. Fix yourself. Adjust yourself. Start changing. Start letting go of the old. Start pressing on towards the forward. Start grabbing a hold of your future. What am I grabbing a hold of? Getting the mindset of Christ. It talks about that, getting the mind of Christ. Start thinking different. Start acting different. Start reaching forward. Start reaching forward. Because we have a prize. Amen. You have a prize. I have a prize. There's an eternal gift for us. Heaven is waiting for us. We must press on. Why are we going to press on? It's because God got you in this. God got me in this, and I am no loser. I ain't got time to lose. Now, if we're playing PlayStation, I'm a loser in PlayStation. I'm a bad sport in PlayStation. I'm a bad, any games, I'm bad sport. Everybody will tell you. All Sonya's family will tell you, I suck at games. I'll cheat at games. I'll lie at games. I'll push my body around. We're playing basketball. We're going to play ghetto ball. You know, I'm bad at that. But towards heaven, oh, Jesus, have mercy. That's one game that I got to make sure I'm at my best. One game, amen, that I make sure there's no cheating, no lying, and no roughness. So let's press on. Let's press forward. Amen. I want to see this other scripture because there's a few more scriptures we're going to cover up if we can for the sake of time. He says, therefore, let us, again, look at let us. He's talking to the whole group. He's talking to the whole church. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to the brethren. So a lot of times, you got to understand, Paul is always talking to the church because the church seems to always forget to be spiritual. Let that sink in for a minute. Especially the leadership in the church always seem to want to do whatever they feel is right. So Paul is constantly rebuking his leadership. He's constantly rebuking the pastors. He's constantly rebuking the believers. Paul is constantly addressing the church because the church has a way of thinking they can get away with anything. Can I get an amen? Thank you. So here he goes. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, that's the key word, mature. Come here, Ray. Come up here, Ray, really quick. Huh? Let me see you, Ray. Here's my brother-in-law, Ray. I remember Ray when he was barely born, little thing, and he began to grow. And all of a sudden, we used to call him Slimer because he was always Slimer, right? Slimy. I come Slimy when he was young. And he started growing. He's no longer the baby that I known. He was this small. And all of a sudden, he started growing, and God started using him, and he started helping in the worship team. And now, man, this guy can do anything. He can play any instrument. He can sing any song. He's sick. He's bad. He's matured since then. It would have been funny if he was still in his Pampers, still... and not mature. And he would be in you know, you can still do that. You know, you got it, didn't you? And it would be funny. But that's how the Christian church is. They're not mature. They grow up. They get old, but they never grow up. And so he's saying, hey, for those that are mature, those that have grown up like Ray, stay right there, Ray, listen to this. He says, therefore, as many as are mature. So mature believer. Now the word mature means that he's perfecting himself. He's growing up and he's learning to stop grabbing a hold of the past and pressing forward and grabbing a hold of his reach towards his future. So now he's a mature individual. He's growing up because why? Because the past is no longer controlling him. And he's not dipping in his past no more. His past attitude, his past misbehaviors, his past hangups. So he's not grabbing a hold of those no more. He's pressing forward now. He's reaching forward. I want you to reach forward. Just reach forward like that. He's reaching forward. And he's obtaining things for his future because his future is heaven and the great calling is in heaven. So he's reaching forward and he's grabbing things to add to him. Behaving himself. He's adding to his character. He's adding to his personality. He's adding kindness. He's adding meekness. He's adding growth. He's adding long-suffering. And so now he's mature. So now when Paul say, hey, to my mature believers, he say, yeah, I got this. What do you want me to do? So he's not taking offense. He's not offended no more by what the pastor's saying. He's not offended when things are being said. Oh, my God, did you hear what he said? Oh, he's just picking on me. No, no. He's mature enough to say, I'm not being picked on. He's mature enough to say, you know what? This is going to help me. This is going to make me a better believer. This is going to help me finish the race. This is going to help me get to my goal. This is going to help me to get to my purpose. This is going to help me get to heaven. This is going to help me. Ooh, come on, man. Thank you. Wow. Sorry, no social distance. Sorry about that. Forget about that in the moment. Wow, you got to be mature enough to say, the pastor's not out to hurt me. God is not out to hurt me. They're not out to degrade me. You got to be mature. But when you're not mature, you take offense of everything. He goes on, he says these words. Have this mind. Wow. Have this mind. Have this in mind. Have this on your mind, guys. Put it in your mind, because if it gets in your mind, it's going to get in your spirit. He says, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He said, you think any otherwise, man? Look, God will reveal it to you. God will speak to you. God will reveal it to you. God will talk to you. If you're mature enough. It goes on, he says these words, and look, I'm just going to go through this really quick. Nevertheless, he's all but he, in other words, he goes, nevertheless, he said, but whatever. See, God's talking to mature, Paul's talking to mature people. So there's the mature, and then there's the babies, there's the infants, and they're all mixed together. And he's saying, well, nevertheless, he's all, nevertheless, guys, to the degree that we have already obtained. He said, nevertheless, get this in your mind, that we already obtained. Let us walk by the same rules, and let us be of the same mind. This is what that means. He goes, look it, I already told you earlier that I have not attained it. But let me tell you something. Get this in your mind. You still got to act like you already got it together and you need to do this. So you need to function like the rules God lays out and what God has been telling us to do and to keep connected to the things of God. Get this in your mind. Get this in your spirit. Look at verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example. Here's Paul, man. Paul said, look at guys, look at brothers. Grab a hold of this. Follow in my examples. And note this, who those so walk as you have us for a pattern. Man, note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. He said, man, there's people who already laid out a pattern for us to walk. Pastor Ruben, man, my pastor, man, he's laid out a beautiful, he blazed trails for us. He's a trailblazer, man. What is a trailblazer? A trailblazer is one who goes before you and does things before you. Man, he's done so many things. He planted churches. He built a great church. He's got great people. He's got a great ministry. He's got a great marriage. He's got great children. Listen, he blazed it for us to follow that exampleship. And all you pastors that are out there, follow the patterns. All leaders and church members, follow the pattern. Follow the exampleship that's laid before you. Amen. Stop trying to find a pattern in the world. The world system is not going to work. It's funny how we want to, marriage couples, you want to take marriage counseling from people who've been divorced and have nothing good to say. And they want to destroy your marriage. So you have to watch out who you're listening to. Now, if you've been divorced, don't take it personal. But you fix it. And you let God get you to be a good example by the second marriage. Or maybe you stayed single. Be a good pattern. You tell them, look at me, hey, learn from me. Learn from my mistakes. I've talked to good people, man, who tell me, learn from my mistakes. I says, yes, I'm going to learn from your mistakes. Amen. So here we go, here we go. For many walk, for whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those end is destruction, which God is their, look at, which God is their belly, and those who glory in this is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. He says, man, he said, these people who only destruction is their belly, they're hungry for the flesh, and because of that, shame has come to them. And so when you give in to the lies of the world, it's only brings shame and brings destruction, because the enemy wants to rob you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So listen closely. Who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship, listen to this. Do you have your green card for heaven yet? For our citizenship is in heaven. What's our goal? What's our destiny? What's our final place? It's heaven. From which we also urgently wait for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21, because I'm almost done. Who will transfer our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the works by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Wow. Wow. God is saying, look at man, heaven is your home. When you go to heaven, I'm going to give you a glorious body. I'm gonna heal. You're no longer gonna be no more crying, no more weeping, no more pain, no more nothing. I'm giving you a new body, a new start, a fresh start, a glorious body. Wow. Verse chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm gonna be closing with this. Therefore, my beloved, my brothers, my sister, my church, my leaders. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I said, hold on, man. Hold on. Hold on. Press forward. Hold on. There's a crown of life coming. There is peace coming. There is strength coming, but we must hold on. Whatever's happening right now is just a season. We must hold on and stay united. We must hold on and stay connected. We must hold on to the word. Hold on to the things that we are reaching for. What have we been reaching for? What have we been longing for? He says, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, brother. Hold on, spouse. Hold on, believer. Hold on, church. I tell you this from my heart. Hold on. Hold on. I know it's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for my wife. It's hard for our children. So I know it's hard for you. I know you're battling. I know you're going through things. I know you want a fellowship. I know you want to come together. I know we want to be together. But we can't right now. But we're going to hold on to our faith. And we're going to press forward. And we're going to forget about all this stuff that's going on. And we're going to preach. We're going to reach forward. Things are going to change. Things are going to happen. We just dealt with Passover. We had Passover yesterday. Passover started yesterday. We anointed our house. I said, I'm going to anoint my house. We anointed our house. And we said, Lord, we dedicate our house to you. Honor you in this time. And so I'm challenging you guys. Everything's going to work out. But let's stay united. Let's stay together. Let's stay engaged. Amen. Stay interactive. Anytime we have something going on, connect, share, like. have its way. Let God use what he's using. Right now, this opportunity that we have, let's take our best shot at it. Let's make a difference. Let's make a difference. So again, I want to challenge you. Press on. Press on. Because he called you into this. He saved you. Press on to finish what he's called you to do. Press on by forgetting the past. Press on by reaching forward towards your future. Press on towards the goal that's set before you. Allow God to mature you. Get mature. I think at this time, we need to stop allowing ourselves not to grow. We need to start growing. I talk to people that have been around for a long time, and it seems that those are the ones who get challenged a lot. And you've been around the Lord for a while. Allow God to shape you and to cut things away so you can be mature. Your spouse needs you to be mature. Your children need you to be mature right now. They need you. They need you. Right now they're asking questions. Answer questions for them. Give them a positive word. They need their parents more than ever. Parents, there's a mandate on your life right now. And you need to be strong right now for your household. You need to be strong for your children. You need to be strong for your spouse. They need God's people right now to rise up. To rise up. Let's stop focusing on the bad and let's focus on the good. Focus on the good. Heaven, eternal. That's our eternal resting place. Let's all stand, let's all stand, let's all stand. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're hearing me and the sound of my voice and you're watching and it's your first time watching or you're with your family right now and you're there with them. I want you to know that Jesus loves you and he died for you and he has a purpose for your life and he has a calling on your life and he wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. I talked to some people and they told me, Pastor, my family member was hearing and they've never been to church before. This is their first time. They stayed all the way through. So I told myself we had to continue reaching the lost and continue giving them a chance to receive Jesus Christ. So I want you to know you need Jesus. You need to receive Jesus in your heart. He's here for you. And he wants to give you, amen, eternal home. He wants to save you and deliver you. Or maybe you're here and maybe you're backslidden and you've fallen away. You've drifted away. You're saying, Pastor, I don't know what I'm doing. I've been doing wrong. I've been messing around. I want to change my life. I want to get my life right with God. I want to get my heart right with God. I want to get my life right with God because I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm afraid. Stuff is happening and I just want to give my life to God. I want to be ready for heaven. See, are we ready for heaven? This is what I'm telling us. We need to be ready for heaven. Jesus is coming back and he's coming for his church and he's coming for those that love him, that are saved and are delivered, that gave their life to them. You see, Pastor, I need to give my life to God. I need to give my life to God. That's you. You lifted up your hand. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. We're going to pray with you and I want you to say this prayer with me. Say it after me. Say, Jesus, wash me with your precious blood. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me new. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great clap offering. Amen. The Bible says that when one gives their life to the Lord, that heaven rejoices. I'm telling you right now, God has forgiven you. You have been forgiven. Now is our job.